Welcome to the Adoption and Foster Care Journey, a podcast to encourage, educate, and equip you to care for children and youth through adoption, foster, and kinship care. Hosted by an adoptive mom with over 22 years of kinship and adoptive parenting experience, she's on this journey with you. Please welcome Sandra Flack.
Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. That is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. I am Sandra Flack. Welcome to this episode of the Adoption and Foster Care Journey. Thank you for joining us today. I pray that you will be encouraged for your parenting journey through this podcast. And today we have a foster mom and author with us. Can't wait for you to meet her. But first, as always, love for you to check out this important resource.
Natalie Vecchione of the FASD Hope Podcast and Sandra Flack of the Adoption and Foster Care Journey Podcast would like to invite you to join their Hope for the FASD Journey, a virtual support community for parents and caregivers raising individuals with an FASD, diagnosed or not. This faith-based community includes an online bi-monthly support group, a monthly VIP conversation, and a private Facebook group which includes a video devotional from Natalie and Sandra every Saturday. To register, visit justicefororphansny.org/training/FASD.
While this podcast is not specifically about fetal alcohol spectrum disorders, FASD does affect a vast majority of children in adoptive, foster, and kinship placements. So it is so important for you to know about FASD, to understand it, and to have the tools to parent your kiddo, just like all of our kids have experienced some level of trauma. So the parenting tools we use to parent our kiddos with trauma are very different than if we were parenting biological children who'd never experienced trauma. And FASD just adds another whole level of challenge, let's say, that requires additional skills on top of your trauma-informed parenting skills. So as a mom of two young men, ages 18 and 20, both diagnosed with fetal alcohol syndrome when they were little, I know how difficult the journey is and how isolating it can be and frustrating and hard. So we want you to know, I want you to know, you are not alone. And we have that whole community. Our FASD support community is the only faith-based FASD support group and community there is in the world, as far as I know, until someone tells me otherwise. So we want you to take advantage, whether your kiddos have been diagnosed with FASD, whether you just suspect that they may have an FASD. Either way, we have families in this group in both of those categories. We are here to support you. You do not have to go this journey alone. In addition to the support group, I also offer one-on-one parent coaching, online coaching, FASD coaching sessions for caregivers and parents. And you can check those out on our website, and also a variety of online and in-person FASD workshops. Now, due to a busy travel schedule for the month of April, I don't have any FASD online workshops available until May. So our next intro to FASD, which is a 1 hour free workshop, that will be given again on May 8th at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Again, it's an hour. It's great for parents and caregivers who are just beginning to learn about FASD. Or maybe if you already know about FASD, you have other people in your kiddos' lives that you know would really benefit from understanding it better. And that could be the school teacher, bus driver, grandparent, adult kiddos, next door neighbor, babysitter, youth group leader, Sunday school teacher, anybody in your kiddo's life. that would really benefit from understanding more about FASD so that they can understand and interact with your child better, this free workshop is ideal for them. So if you want a little bit more, you want to go a little bit deeper than that 1 hour intro, I am also offering a 3 hour FASD workshop. I use the FACETS neurobehavioral model. So we break that down a little bit. And that is Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern time. There is a fee for that workshop. It goes a little bit deeper than the free intro. The intro is not a prerequisite. You can take either or of these classes, but if you want more than just an hour and you want to go deeper, then I do a 3 hour session where we can cover more material that way. To register for any of the workshops or the coaching or to join the support group, go to our website, justicefororphansny.org, and then you'll see a tab at the top of the page that says training, and then FASD is in the dropdown. You can click on that as well. So I hope that you will check that out. Now in April, like I said, I've got some traveling to do. And if you are in the North Carolina area, or if you can get there, I will be leading an FASD in-person workshop at the Renew Retreat. This is a retreat for adoptive and foster parents. It is April 18th through the 20th. It's in Swansboro, North Carolina, right near the ocean, near the beach. And it is a great, I attended last year. I led a workshop there last year. And there's couples. It's a great couples retreat. You do not have to be a couple. There were some single adoptive and foster parents there. But it is such a time of nourishment for your soul. You just feel so blessed, and you will definitely have your batteries recharged. It is organized by the amazing Jody Jackson Tucker. She is also an adoptive parent. She was the international director of Orphan Sunday for many, many years. She wrote the Bible study Second Mothers, and she has a whole online group of Second Mothers. Maybe you're part of that. But Jody organizes this retreat. She will be there. I will be there. And if you are interested in this retreat, I will put a link in the show notes, but you would go to renewretreat.org to be able to sign up for that. Also, please, please, please subscribe or follow, like this podcast. When you do, it makes sure that other adoptive and foster parents who are looking for a resource like this can easily find us online. And please leave a review if you would like to. We always love to hear from our listeners. So whether you leave a review on the platform that you listen to this podcast on, or send us an email, contact me through the website, love feedback from our listeners. So that's all that. And now we're going to get to our guest, Autumn McKay. Autumn is an author, early childhood educator. She has written a series of early childhood books, and she and her husband are parents to three kiddos, and they are foster parents. Please welcome to the show, Autumn McKay. Hi, Autumn.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. It's so great to meet you and to can't wait to hear your story.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. And we'll let our listeners know you have a newborn little foster baby sitting next to you. So if we hear any little grunts and groans or gurgles, it's a precious little one. And we just love that. So we're not going to edit that out at all. And we did pray for the baby before we started. So just let our listeners know that. But what I would love to know is a little bit about your foster care journey. How long have you and your husband been fostering?
So we have been fostering a little over a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've had two placements in that time.
Wow. Wow. So I know you have some biological children. What led you guys to consider becoming foster parents?
So before we even got married, we knew that we wanted to have biological children. And then if God led us financially and emotionally and mentally to adopt or whatever path that would be, we wanted to pursue it. So our kids are 10, 8, and 6 right now. And so we got to the point where we felt like we were in a good position in our marriage, in our family, finances, all the things. And so we started to like look into adoption. And looking into that, we learned that there were 20 waiting families for every baby that was being put up for adoption. And many of those families have gone through like infertility and just naturally could not have a family themselves. So we kind of felt like we would be stealing a baby from someone that couldn't have children. So we just didn't feel like that was the plan that God had for us. So we looked into other options. We had friends and family that have fostered before. And so we asked them about it and we prayed through it. And we just felt like that was the path that God was leading us on. And we actually went into fostering, hoping to adopt. But through our first placement, we learned like through the children that we had in our home that they have such a biological connection with their biological parents, and they like crave to be back at home, even no matter what the situation they came from was. So we learned that if we can, we cheer for the biological parents, but if that is not the best situation for them to return to, then we look for either relatives that they can be with or the best family that they can be with.
I love that. And I was going to ask you about that, because so oftentimes that's something people who maybe are considering becoming foster parents, they struggle with that. You know, well, if I get attached, I'll have to give them back. And sometimes birth families are looked at in a negative light. But so many folks that I've interviewed over the years really take this on as a ministry, even to the biological family, the birth mom, really trying to minister to them and be a support and an encouragement, because, you know, as long as our kiddos can be safe, the best place for them is with their family. And they are just, those children are naturally wired to want that, right? Like you said, mm-hmm. No matter how bad the situation may have been, those kiddos want mom and or dad. And if we can minister and be a support and a resource to be able to help make that happen, that is a wonderful ministry. And reunification is the goal of foster parents, right? Of fostering, right? So that's great that is something that you've seen to be valuable. Have you had good connections with birth families?
So our first placement, it was two little boys, a 3 and a 5-year-old, and they went to be with grandparents. Parents weren't ready yet, but so we connected with their grandparents, and we've been at their home. They've been at our home. We've celebrated birthdays together. So it's been a really good experience. It still wasn't easy when the boys left. And there was still some grief with that, but it's good for my kids and for my husband and I to know that we can still be in contact with them.
Yeah, I love that. Love that. And that is definitely the trend in foster care nowadays, is that kinship placement. If they cannot be reunified with birth parents, then a relative is actually priority over general foster parents. So we see that in our state as well. What state are you in?
I'm in Georgia.
In Georgia, right. And mm-hmm. then I'm upstate here in New York. So oh, okay. That's what we're seeing in our state as well, is that trend of kinship care and preventing kids from coming into foster care. So that's important. But you know, when it's grandparents, like you mentioned, oftentimes they're not really equipped or prepared to bring the children in, so they could use some extra support and help as well. So that is wonderful. Also, you know, children who come into care have experienced trauma. They've experienced loss. Many of them have been prenatally exposed to drugs and alcohol, all of which impacts brain development, which impacts behavior. What has been your experience, Amber, with the kiddos that you have fostered? What has that experience been like with behaviors and challenges?
So we were naive when we went into it, thinking like that the children biologically are this age and that they would act that age like our children did. However, they usually act like half that age, with their emotional and
developmental.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. So like our 3-year-old really acted like a 1.5-year-old. So when he was upset, he would literally throw himself down on the ground and have a tantrum instead of being able to like talk to me about it. But even though they are at lower developmental stages, they still are able to attach and to like open their hearts to you and to learn. They really learn a lot from my biological children. They were really good influences for them. So that was really good to see. And I was really nervous about like the whole process with my biological children, like what they would see and what they would witness that they had not had before. And like seeing the trauma that they had come from, I was really nervous about them seeing that. However, they really like made me proud because they were showing empathy towards the children, and they were learning how to like accept them for who they were. And they were teaching them like, this is how we hold our fork, or we pray before we eat, or that's not a nice thing to say, things like that. And so it was really, really good to see their interactions together.
Yeah, that is great, because I know sometimes that's another reservation potential foster families may have is what, you know, how will this negatively impact my own children, so to speak, mm-hmm. right? What's that going to be like? And we do, right? As parents, it's understandable to have that concern. I talk to a lot of families where it turns out to be such a positive and a blessing, where our own children, if we have biological children, really do rise to the occasion, and they definitely have compassion and empathy. And I know adult foster parents who their parents fostered when they were kids, and it had such an impact on them that they knew growing up they wanted to become foster parents themselves. So cool. Most of the time, you know, I think it has a positive effect on our kids, and they get to see a bigger world out there beyond their own, you know, wants. Yeah, yeah. And I know my husband and I adopted internationally. And when we traveled, we brought our biological kids with us because it was important for us to see, for them to see the culture that mm-hmm. their new siblings were coming from, for them to see the orphanage, because our kids had been in orphanages, just to have that experience and that understanding. And it definitely was impactful, a positive experience for our biological kids as well. But getting back to the trauma, you know, and like you mentioned, you know, a lot of times these kiddos come in and they really present as much younger than their biological age. That is often a symptom of prenatal exposure to alcohol. It's one of the primary symptoms of FASD. It can also be a sign or a symptom of trauma, right? Which all these kiddos come in on. What kind of training, like, did you foster through your county or another agency? And what kind of training did you receive prior to being placed with children?
So we had an informational meeting with our the state, like, and basically they recommended that we find a private agency because the caseworkers are just, the state caseworkers are just overloaded, and they don't have the time or resources to give to foster parents. So they're just focused on the kids, which they should be. So they recommended finding a private agency. And so we did. And they, the private agency gave us, like, in the becoming foster parents, you have to take 8 classes. And then there's like monthly classes as well. And then if you want to go on and be TRBI certified, you can take additional classes for that. We didn't take those classes, but I have read the books and I have watched the videos and stuff, because they were very helpful in the in those times, just because, like, I wasn't getting through to our 5-year-old at the time, when normally, like, I would with my own kids. And so I was like, what is going on? And so I talked to my cousin and she was like, you need to watch these. Yeah. It was Karen Purvis, and yep. I watched those and I was like, okay, now I get it. Yeah. And so, yeah, that helped a lot.
Yeah. TBRI was a lifesaver to us when we, cause we had 5 adopted kids, and we had, our first kiddo was a kinship placement. We weren't foster parents, and she didn't go into the foster care system, but would have if we hadn't stepped up. So we got legal custody of her because she was a family member. And then, but had no training. There was 0. We had no classes. And I didn't even know I would need a class or a book or anything. And then eventually we did adopt her, and then we adopted internationally. And because we used an out-of-state agency to adopt internationally, we still didn't. It's kind of crazy. I think back and I think, how did that even happen? Because we again had no training. By then I had enough sense to read some books about attachment and adopt, you know, issues with adoption and things like that. But still there was no formal training. And when we brought home the first 3 kids, and then a couple of years later, we brought home the youngest one. And when we brought home the youngest one, that's when we recognized we are not equipped to parent this kiddo as the youngest of the 4 biological siblings. He'd been in the orphanage the longest, and we highly suspected had fetal alcohol syndrome, which he does have. We had him diagnosed, and then it turns out the next up from him also has FAS. So that, you know, when we recognize we are not prepared, we're not going to survive this. And we started reaching out for help. I found the Connected Child book, and I read and devoured that. And then I got the videos, and my husband and I watched those. And this was back in the day where Dr. Purvis was still alive. And we actually flew from New York to Nashville for when they were doing Empowered to Connect conferences, and Dr. Purvis herself was still presenting at them. We spent a whole weekend in Nashville at an Empowered to Connect conference. And then I attended a couple more in person over the years. And then we used to host the simulcast at our church when they were doing that. So that's how I got a lot of my early training to understand trauma. But then our kiddos became, and it worked, right? I always tell, I highly recommend it when families come to me wanting advice about becoming adoptive or foster parents. It's one of the first things I tell them. You have to read this book. You have to watch these videos. You have to become trauma informed. And it all worked. But then our boys became teenagers. And then it was like, we're missing something. This has gotten incredibly, you know, a lot harder. Something's going on. We have attachment. We have connection. Like, what on earth is going on? So, and we too have biological children. So I'd already raised some teenagers. So I'm like, you know, I get the teenager thing. It's even more than that. Like, what is going on? And that's when I started to suspect the FASD, because though they had the fetal alcohol syndrome diagnoses, we had gotten no resources for that. There was just nothing. And when I was searching online for help back then, it was just very dark and hopeless information, which I just decided I'm not going to listen to. Like, that's not going to happen to us. But we found ourselves in a place where we just didn't know what else to do. So by then, you know, there was more out there. So there was some podcasts that I started listening to. And I eventually went on and got formal training so that I could train parents and caregivers and even professionals, because there's just not enough training on that topic. And it really affects probably more than 80% of children in child welfare. But most of them are not diagnosed. And whether they're diagnosed or not, the adoptive and foster parents, the kinship caregivers, are ill-equipped. They don't have the tools. So it's kind of like trauma-informed parenting is at one level. And then if you have kiddos prenatally exposed, you've got another whole level of training that you need. So that's been something that I've become, you know, well educated in, and then am able to offer training and support. We have a support group and all of that through our organization, because it's such a vital part of the journey, because you're not going to be able to stay the course, right? Unless you have, unless you're equipped. So we talked about the impact on your biological children and birth families. Those were questions I wanted to ask you about. What other lessons have you learned along the way in the time that you've been doing this?
There's been a lot of lessons. So we've learned to go with the flow. I'm a very like type A person, like schedule, which children benefit from.
Yes.
Schedules and routines, especially when they've gone through trauma. Cause they basically made their own schedules and things when parents weren't equipped to take care of them. But as far as like going with the flow, I've learned to go with the flow as far as like scheduling, caseworker meetings and, visitations and like all these things that just like pop up, last minute. And I'm just like, okay. yeah. So that has been a work in progress for myself. But we also learned that you need to have, like, in order to do this journey, you need to make sure that you have a strong foundation for your family and your marriage. Yes. Because accepting these children that have gone through trauma into your home is a lot to take on. Like just bringing in a new baby, like your own biological baby, is a big step in a family. But children that have gone through trauma is an even bigger step for you as a parent, for especially when you have biological children. It's just a lot for everyone in that family. So you need to make sure that your marriage is good, your relationship with your kids is good, and even like the dynamic in your family and everyone is on board through that process.
The marriage one is huge, right? We're both you and your husband on the same page when it came to deciding to foster.
Yes, yeah. We were. Yeah. Very fortunate that was the case. I do know some couples that have not exactly been like eye to eye in that area, but have kind of still taken the journey. But in the process, they've gotten on the same page, so that's good. But luckily we were both in it together.
Yeah, and it's an important piece to it, because I know when we did our kinship, when we took in our daughter through kinship placement, we were both on the same page because she was a relative, and we were like, of course we're going to do this, right?
Right.
And then, you know, as the years went on and I started to feel compelled to adopt internationally, you know, it was, and I talk about this in my book, you know, the Lord started with me. And when I finally surrendered to it, like, okay, all right, you know, I see it. This is what you're calling us to do. Now you've got bigger fish to fry, God, because I don't think my husband is going to be on board. And it did take him a while, you know, a few years to get on board, but I also had to learn to really just be silent and pray. Like I shared with him, this is what I feel like we're called to do. And he was like, yeah, maybe one day. And I just asked him to pray about it. But then I, you know, the Lord basically told me to be quiet, which is really hard for me actually, but because I knew I could probably talk him into it if I tried really hard, but I had enough wisdom to know that that's not a good thing because this could be hard. And like you said, we have to be on the same page. We have to, you know, have a strong, solid marriage and be, you know, in unity on it because it can be hard. And it has been for us, you know, and my husband did get there, you know, he did get there where, you know, he finally heard from the Lord and we said yes together. And like I said, we adopted four siblings internationally and our two youngest, you know, are diagnosed with FAS. So we've got, you know, even though they're 18 and 20, you know, we're not going to be empty nesters anytime in the near future, maybe if ever. So it really transformed our lives, our marriage, our family for the better, but it's different than maybe we thought it would have been, you know, 30 years ago when we were parenting our biological kids. Right. So you have to be on the same page because it can be very hard. And then also it's life-changing. So that's, you know, that is definitely wisdom to have that part of it because it's key. And for our kids, right. We want to make sure that our biological kids, if we have those, are okay as well. And that we have a strong family because even I have found that personally, and I know TBRI brings us through this, right. If we have any of our own unresolved issues, it will come up when you're parenting kids with trauma, because they're really good at pressing buttons and bringing us to that place where, you know, we're not really liking ourselves or how we're responding to things and have to take a good hard look at why, you know, why does this bother me? Why do I have a hard time with this? Why, you know, and really look at ourselves. Because if we have any unresolved conflict or, you know, trauma ourselves, it will surface super fast in this parenting journey. So we have to make sure that even we ourselves have gone through some healing. And I think it was Dr. Purvis who said, you know, we can't bring children to any levels of healing that we ourselves have not been to. So we definitely have to take care of that ourselves as part of this, because it will surface. Any other thoughts on the fostering piece before I wanted to ask you about some of your books?
I don't think so.
I didn't want to leave anything out. So in addition to being a mom and a foster mom, you are an author. And I see that you have three books. Two of them are children's books. Tell us about those.
So I actually have like 15 books.
Oh my goodness. I only saw three on my list. So no, tell us.
So they're all like early education books. So I was a teacher before I became stay-at-home mom, then author. So it's basically, I got bored being a stay-at-home mom, and I wanted to make that time with my children intentional. And so we started doing learning activities together. And so my husband encouraged me to turn all of those activities into books. And so there are hands-on activities that parents can do with their kids or teachers can do with their class. But there's also some like workbooks that are easy to take to a restaurant and do at a restaurant or doctor's office while you're waiting in a doctor's office. And so there's some that are divided up into themes, like engineering or water play or learning about space, things like that. And then there's a couple books that are just focused on learning letters or learning to read or learning colors.
Oh, that's exciting. So, and then you've also written a book for moms, the Full Life Gratitude Journal for Moms. Tell us about that one.
So that one was developed because basically I needed it for myself. So I was going through like mom burnout, and I was just kind of just going through the motions and overwhelmed with all the task of motherhood and everything. So my husband had been listening to a lot of podcasts about business entrepreneurs. And he heard that many of them started their day with gratitude. And so he started practicing it himself, and he encouraged me to start it and try it. And so I eventually did. And I just noticed that while I was focusing on gratitude, my brain was wandering in different directions about things that needed to be done. And so I created the journal so I could, it would help me to stay focused on being grateful and writing down my blessings. And it's also a really good way to like go back and like see my journey. So it has three things that you can write down that you're grateful for. These can be big things or little things. Like sometimes mine was, I got to drink my cup of tea and it was hot the whole time. And then it has a place where you can write down your win for the day and a lesson that you learned, and then a spot for prayer.
I love that. And I agree with the gratitude perspective, because that's something that I have been doing for a number of years now. I read a book years ago, 1,000 Gifts, mm-hmm. and the author's name, her, she's a very well-known author, and my brain just went blank on her name. But if you search 1,000 Gifts, you'll find it. And the book challenges you to keep a journal, like the author had. You started just using a notebook and writing down every day things that she was thankful for. And like you said, it could be just my tea stayed hot the whole time, or it could be I actually got a hot shower today, right. to, you know, other bigger things. But I started doing that as part of my daily quiet time. And I have countless journals full, and I number them every day. Like I just go through and I number them in my journal and just keep doing that. I start over with one when I start a new journal, and I just actually finished a journal yesterday. And I have a fresh one ready to go for today. But I just find that having that, you know, that starting your day with gratitude, whether you start your day that way or you end your day that way, whenever, you know, everybody does it at different times, but focusing on gratitude is huge. You know, because then we begin to see how the Lord has really guided us through our days. And he's showing up way more than maybe we think in those frustrated moments. So I love the idea of a gratitude journal just for moms. Where can our listeners find the journal and all of your books?
So I have a website called bestmomideas.com. And then all of my books are available on Amazon as well.
Great. So bestmomideas.com. In addition to the books, do you blog there? What would we find there?
Yes. So I do blog there. Basically, it's my motherhood journey, like all the chaos and messiness and laugh at me moments that I've learned, as well as just it talks about my books and some fun activities to do with kids and like screen time with young ones and things like that. So, yeah.
So love that. Love that. So it's bestmomideas.com. And we will put a link in the show notes for this episode so our listeners can very easily find your website. Your books are there. They're also on Amazon. And what about social media? Are you on social media? How can we find you there?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram, bestmomideas, and Facebook, bestmomideas as well.
Love that. So our listeners can find you there. And then I just want to ask you, because you chose the verse that I opened with, which was 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Autumn, why is this verse special to you?
So this has been my verse for many years. I like to take on a lot of things, and it causes me to be overwhelmed or feel anxious. But I like that verse because it reminds me that God, he loves me so, so much that he wants to take all of those worries from me and not to be worried. So yeah, it reminds me to put it on him because he loves me so much that he wants to take care of me.
Amen to that. So what I think I'll do is, as we close, I'm going to close us in prayer. And I'm going to pray for you, because you're in the early beginnings of this foster parenting journey. And you're doing so many amazing things for moms out there and for the kiddos that you're fostering. And our listeners are primarily adoptive and foster parents, kinship caregivers, folks who are on this journey as well. And I think we could all use some prayer and some encouragement. So let me close us out in prayer. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Autumn, Lord, and her ministry, her foster care ministry, to the children that are in their home, including the little one sitting beside her right now, and to the parents and the caregivers and the grandparents and those in the lives of these children, Father, and how she's able to support and minister to them and to all of the moms through her blog and through her books, Father. We just thank you for the great work that she is doing to encourage moms. Motherhood is a hard journey. And then when you add children with trauma and children with prenatal exposure, it's just like the next level of hard, right? So I just lift up every mom who is listening to this podcast right now. And I pray that you would just cause them to recognize, as Autumn mentioned, God loves you. He cares for you. He wants to take all of your anxiety and frustration and stress away and just lift up your weary arms. And I pray, Lord, that each one of our listeners will feel your presence and your peace, and that they will feel that their arms are lifted up as they are on this parenting journey with biological kids, with adopted and foster kids, with relative children, Lord, that you would just encourage us and strengthen us and lift us up, Lord, so that we can do good, so that we could do the good that you've called us to. I was just, the verse crossed my mind just now about do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. And I pray, Lord, that as each one of us is on this journey to do good and to make an impact and to pour into the lives of children, help us not to grow weary, because as we pour out, we can feel depleted and empty, and we need to be poured into. So I pray that, Lord, you would pour into each mama, and that you would give us the strength, the energy, the wisdom and discernment and encouragement, everything that we need to parent the children that you've placed into our homes, no matter how they came into our families. Lord, help us to pour your love and your light into each one of them, Lord. I pray that you will encourage our mom listeners today and our dad listeners, because we have some of those too. And we just pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our families and help us to grow closer to you. We just thank you for all of these things. I thank you for all of the listeners, and I thank you for Autumn sharing her story today. And we just give you all the glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Autumn, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your story. And thank you for fostering. And I pray that you will just continue to just be that safe place for so many, many children.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Adoption and Foster Care Journey. If you ever wonder why sometimes I look like I'm sitting in the dark, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but the lights in the room that I'm recording in, if there's no motion on a certain side of the room, the lights go out automatically. And since I'm here alone and nobody's walking around the room, they went off, and then I'm sitting in the dark. And then my light next to me, which is normally shining on me, it must have ran out of juice. So it went off too. So I've got some overhead lights. So fun fact why I'm sometimes sitting here in the dark, or all of a sudden it looks like the lights are going off. And I guess it only matters if you watch this podcast on YouTube, because we do release the video version of the podcast on YouTube. If you haven't checked that out, Justice for Orphans has a YouTube channel, and all of the video versions of this podcast are posted there. So if you ever want to see me sitting in the dark, tune into YouTube and you can watch your podcast and see that happen. It usually happens towards the end of an episode. And I just totally got myself sidetracked. But anyway, I hope you were encouraged by my conversation with Autumn McKay today. And in addition to encouraging you, we'd like to equip you for your parenting journey. As I mentioned at the top of the show, as a parent of two kiddos with fetal alcohol syndrome, and as a facilitator of the FACETS neurobehavioral model, I know personally how challenging this journey can be. And I am passionate about equipping parents, especially moms who are on this journey, with resources that I wished I had had or known about years ago. And they really didn't exist back then in those early days of my parenting journey. So make sure you check out our website for our FASD support groups, online and in-person workshops. Of course, you have access to this podcast as well. And I also offer one-on-one parent coaching. All of it can be found on our website, justicefororphansny.org. And of course, there's a link in the show notes to this episode, to our website, as well as to bestmomideas.com, which is Autumn McKay's website, where you can find her books and read her blog as well. So if you enjoyed the show, again, please subscribe, leave a review. Also find us on social media. Justice for Orphans is on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And me, yours truly, Sandra Flack, I am on all three platforms as well. You can find us there. Please do follow, connect. Love to be connected with you on social media. And again, as we hear, we're at the end of our time together today. I am so grateful that you spent your valuable time with me today. I am grateful to have you along for the journey.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Adoption and Foster Care Journey podcast, brought to you by Justice for Orphans. We hope you were encouraged today. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review and share it with your fellow foster and adoptive parent friends so they can be encouraged too. Be sure to find and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. And check out our website for vital resources at justicefororphansny.org.